This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of Washtenaw United. Each week, through our partnership with the United Way of Washtenaw County, we explore issues of equity and opportunity. In doing so, we have to look at the inequities that divide us. A recent study by Citizens for Racial Equity in Washtenaw County found that African Americans in the county are far more likely than white people to be convicted of felonies. The analysis of roughly 1,000 criminal court cases found that sometimes 30 times more likely. Joining us this morning is Aaron Kinzel, and Aaron is a lecturer of criminology and criminal justice at the University of Michigan Dearborn and serves as executive director of Youth Justice Fund. And thank you so much for the time today.
Yeah, thank you for having me, David.
Are you familiar with the report I referenced?
Yes, I have. I've read the the report pretty thoroughly, and it's also, you know, quite disturbing, but also, to be very frank, not shocking either, some of the results.
What did stand out to you?
I think the big thing that stood out, when they looked at some of the cases with the four judges, how the disparities really showed up in two of the four justices on the bench. You know, obviously Judge Brown was the one where they saw the most disparities, but coming in a close second was Judge Schwartz. But then the other two judges on the bench, you know, there wasn't as much of an overlap of all these racial disparities in their decisions. But I also want to be clear, like the report says, too, I mean, this is not a full and accurate picture of what's going on. So, it could be way worse than what it's showing, or it could be slightly less. But, I mean, the results are very, you know, eye-popping to kind of make people think about how, you know, black folks are being treated differently than their white counterparts in Washtenaw County.
With that in mind, and as you mentioned, the findings are not much of a shock or surprise to you. You work with Youth Justice Fund, which is trying to help those people of color who are in the system or working through the system. You serve as executive director there. What is the mission of Youth Justice Fund?
So the mission of the Youth Justice Fund is we want to serve individuals that were incarcerated as youth. So they were dispositioned in the adult criminal justice system at the age of 18 or younger. We plan on providing them with direct services in different ways so they can become, you know, the best version of themselves. We want to enhance public safety. We want to create opportunities for a lot of individuals who really weren't given a fair shot, you know, as they entered into the system. Certainly the U.S. Supreme Court has found that, you know, juveniles should not be treated the same as adults. And we got that through the Miller v. Alabama case back in 2012. So our call is to help some of those juvenile lifers reenter society, but not just juvenile, just any youth that's dispositioned into the adult system. So we have been really expanding on trauma-informed care, connecting our clients with clinicians. You know, everybody knows that, you know, the basic needs have to be met, which is certainly a problem if you spent years in prison. You know, you need housing, transportation, employment, educational opportunity, but a lot of people don't really understand the traumatic events that individuals go through in prison, and not even just in prison itself, but like, you know, early childhood traumatic events that have never been addressed and have been compounded over the years. So we really try to connect our clients with clinicians, and they may talk about sexual abuse that happened as children, violence that they see in their communities, and, you know, just try to help these individuals come kind of full circle so they can become productive citizens in our county.
Washtenaw United continues on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking about inequity in the judicial system with Aaron Kinzel. Aaron is a lecturer of criminology and criminal justice at the University of Michigan Dearborn, and as just mentioned, serves as executive director of the Youth Justice Fund. Aaron, you're not only lecturing on these issues and working on them directly through the Youth Justice Fund, but you have some personal experience in the judicial and correction system yourself, don't you?
Yes, unfortunately I do, but that actually is a great way for me to kind of really look at these different issues from a personal lens, from my lived experience. So as a young man, well, even to go back further than that, when I was born, like, I was surrounded by individuals who had various levels of criminal history. So my mother was born in the projects of Toledo, Ohio. Then we came over to Monroe County, Michigan, and she was with many different men who were very serious violent criminals. And as a little boy, I seen violence, experienced violence. I was almost murdered at the age of 8, and all these experiences, like many other people in the criminal justice system. And it doesn't excuse my behavior, but if you really look at the reasons why I ended up in the system myself, it kind of helps you to, you know, draw a better understanding of it. I became aggressive. I became violent out of fear as this little boy. So in my teenage years, I was in and out of the juvenile justice system for assault and stealing a car. By the time I turned 18, I had a violent confrontation with law enforcement, which ended up getting me a 19-year prison sentence.
Of which you served about 10, right?
Yes, I served about half of that and got out on parole. And what I learned inside, and that's really connects back to my work at the Youth Justice Fund, is that it was the lifers, and more particularly some of the juvenile lifers that were in the prison system, that helped me really change like who I am as a man today. And they taught me about education. They taught me about policy. They helped me fight my legal case. And they taught me about, you know, just being civically engaged as a citizen. And I never was taught that as a child from people that were really deeply involved in criminal activity. But these men, you know, had served 10, 20, 30 years in the system, and they had evolved, they had matured, they had changed, and they really wanted to instill in me these positive values. So when I come out of the system, instead of me becoming, you know, a part of the problem and exacerbating mass incarceration, how can I find ways to really dismantle it and help people like myself that have been justice involved?
There are so many stories like yours. As you mentioned, there are many that come before you. There are many that will come after you that take this experience and put it to work for them and for the community at large moving forward. But there are just as many or more in which these young men of color end up in and out of the system for long periods of time, a very high rate of recidivism. Some say the system is rigged to keep people going in and out of the jail and prison turnstiles. Are you among them that say that?
Well, I got kind of a unique answer for that. I don't think the criminal justice system is broken. I actually think it's doing exactly what it was intended to do. And I think the American criminal justice system is the greatest experiment in the business history of the U.S. Like, it's doing what it was designed to do, which is to marginalize, oppress, and control certain populations. And more often than not, that just happens to be communities of color. And then, you know, poor white folks on top of that. So it's not that the system's broken. It's doing what it's supposed to do and what it's designed to do. Is it a bad system? 100%. It's a horrible system, and it oppresses people, and it destroys communities, and it makes crime worse, actually. So I think we've got to really look at, you know, our history and go back in time and say, you know, it's not a broken system. There's not a problem. It's doing what it's supposed to do. But we have to rethink that as society and say, you know, we need to hold people accountable. Let me be very frank. You know, I did some really serious stuff as a kid, and some of the clients I work with at the Youth Justice Fund did some very serious acts as well.
But and so you were appropriately incarcerated, correct?
Yeah, I think I was. But at the same time, I wasn't given any types of services. There's no such thing as rehabilitation in prison. That's honestly a joke. So as a community, particularly here in Washtenaw County, and there's this racial divide. I mean, everybody knows, like, particularly in you know, in Ann Arbor, the Ypsilanti area.
Right, the 23
so,
divide.
Like, yeah, of course. Like, you know, we push a lot of, you know, black folks over in bad parts of Ypsi where there's no economic stability and there's no jobs. And it's just really, it's redlining them, just like the city of Detroit. And no one wants to say that because everybody in Ann Arbor, particularly the wealthier white folks, you know, have this kind of like progressive mindset. But like, the reality is they don't want black folks in their community. And that's really sad. So I think we've got a lot of racial justice work to really think about here. So it's beyond the criminal justice system. I think there's just a systemic bias of racism in this county, particularly the Ann Arbor-Ypsilanti divide at the heart of the county. So until we really address that and realize that there's a problem there, we can't even begin to tackle criminal justice because it's a much bigger issue than that.
Once again, this is 89.1 WEMU. You're listening to Washtenaw United, and our conversation continues with Aaron Kinzel. You mentioned that the correction system isn't broken. It's doing what it was designed to do. Along those same lines, there are many who contend that the present-day policing system is still based on that white supremacist nature of law enforcement when organized policing began in America, along with coincided with slavery. It is among the reasons why some are calling to defund police departments. As you look to solutions, where in your opinion does it have to begin?
Yeah, and I have a rather unique perspective on the defund the police movement. I'm actually against defunding the police, and let me be very clear. Like, I don't support police brutality, and some of the crazy stuff that's going on in this county and nationally is horrific, but I don't think defunding the police is the option. And I talked to a lot of other criminologists and people that are really deeply involved in the policy systems regarding this, we need to either keep the levels of funding that we have or increase them, but we need a whole different system for policing. We need to get police trained to where they're social workers, they're mental health workers, they have college degrees, they have specialized training to de-escalate situations and violence. We don't need to keep militarizing the police and giving them, assault rifles and tanks, all these different things that are just creating more fear and chaos in communities. We need to make police members of our community again. We need to make police be a respectable position. And we need to really do psychological examinations to really weed out people that have implicit racial bias or even, connect with the systemic racial issues that we have. So I don't think defunding the police is the answer. I think we need to hold cops accountable. I think we need to end qualified immunity. And when cops go beyond the badge and they create physical violence with defendants or potential people that they identify as criminals in the community when they see a criminal act, or they kill somebody, they need to be held accountable. And it shouldn't be the county or the state or the feds that have to pick up a multi-million dollar lawsuit to pay for the death of someone where they've been, wronged. They should be prosecuted and sent to jail or prison and held accountable just like me or you.
As we talk about moving forward and taking this movement and making it count and making those changes, nothing happens quickly. It's taken us 400 years to get to this place.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
What's it going to take to expedite further change and move us closer to equality more quickly?
Yeah, I don't know if we can do that, because like you said, you got 400 years of slavery, and that's not even counting, the other parts of the founding of this country where we went in and murdered indigenous populations and the other attacks on racial and religious minorities in this country. I think we need to have kind of like a truth and reconciliation like South Africa had. Like, we need to come to the understanding that America was based on a lot of really bad premises, and we need to rethink the Constitution in some aspects and look at ways that we can really create true equality in this country. So is that going to happen overnight? Absolutely not. Can we expedite it? I think a little bit, but it's still going to be very incremental. Back to criminal justice, I mean, you're talking about mass incarceration, which started in the early 70s, where we had like roughly 250,000 people in our jails and prisons nationwide. Now we have 2.2 million people. So that took 50 years to get to that point. We're not going to get back down to those low levels, in a couple years or even a few years. It's going to take, decades to really find, a really good medium. So what I think we need to do is come together as a community, in a very diverse community, whether that's academics, politicians, just community members, a religious community, broad spectrum of individuals to kind of like create think tanks and find ways to like really create solutions at the local level. I think that's more important. We often think of things, at the federal level, this top-down approach. We really need to think from a bottom-up grassroots organizing capacity to where people that are the most impacted in our local communities at the city and the county level, I think we can create dramatic change locally. And if enough smaller communities begin that change and create good models and pilot systems of justice reform, then that'll eventually spread across the country and become like infectious in a good way to where we'll have real change in this country.
And our time together is winding down, Aaron, but I do want to ask a final question. Given that slow moving tide of change, are you optimistic today's movement has the momentum and staying power to ensure that is the direction we move in the generations to come?
I really do believe that is the case. I think a lot of these protests have really started to shed more light on these issues, and not that we haven't known this for a long time, that there's problems with the system, but I think a lot of this change is coming is like, it's not just here in the U.S. or here in Washtenaw County that we're seeing these changes, but it's global. It's becoming a global issue, and the world is watching us now. So I think now we really need to follow suit and do what some other countries are doing, where they have a lot more open and, equal treatment of their citizens. So I think it's coming. I think the momentum is here. But again, we as citizens all have to come together and not have this mindset like, well, that's not my problem. I don't know anybody that's involved in the criminal justice system, or that's not my kids, or that's not my community. That's not my backyard. It is your problem. Everybody's problem. So if we don't all come together collectively to really keep this momentum, then we will fail and we won't meet the mark of real justice reform in Washtenaw County or the country.
Aaron, thank you so much for sharing your perspective and your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, David. I enjoyed it as well.
That is Aaron Kinzel. Aaron is lecturer of criminology and criminal justice at the University of Michigan Dearborn and serves as executive director of Youth Justice Fund. He's been our guest on Washtenaw United. This weekly feature series is produced in partnership with the United Way of Washtenaw County, and you'll hear it every Monday. To access the Washtenaw United archive, visit our website at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti, celebrating 55 years of broadcasting to Washtenaw County and beyond.